worship. It's a mouthful. It's the healing power of worship, restoring brokenness and finding wholeness. Now, the truth is, in life, there are mountaintops and there are valley lows. During mountaintops, it is easy to praise God. Now, we were singing that song about the goodness of God, the overflowing goodness of God. You know, when things are going well, you know, you got promoted in life, you know, you did well in your exams, or you're in a honeymoon stage in your marriage, and things are going well, it's easy to celebrate God, isn't it? It's easy. You can praise God. His mercy is overflowing my life. What a wonderful thing. And we celebrate. And today, if you're on your mountaintop, we celebrate with you. We say, praise God. Keep going. Keep going. Keep giving praise unto the Lord. Well done. But there are times whereby you'll be at the valley lows. You'll be at the valley. In fact, to prepare for this sermon, I dug deep, man, guys. So I started preparing this. So I said, Lord, since I'm going to talk about valley lows in life, let me start writing down what are my valley lows in life. I start writing down and I couldn't stop. I'm like, that's a lot of valley lows, man. What happened? You know, I've started walking with the Lord since I was young. You know, I became Christian around 7. I got baptized around 12. Now, of course, I didn't always walk with the Lord. You know, for teenagers, you know, teenagers. I was a good Sunday Christian. I was a good Saturday Christian too. We have our youth group on Saturday. I was a good Saturday and Sunday Christian as a teenager. But come Monday, boy, oh boy. Anyway, so I dug deep. I'm going to read through some of the low points in my life and need you to promise two things, all right? Number one, don't feel sorry for me, all right? Remember, do not feel sorry for me, okay? Because I don't feel sorry for myself. The reason why I share this to you is to celebrate the goodness of God. But we will talk about it a bit later. Number one, don't feel sorry. Number two, don't laugh. That's right. Thank you, Daniel. You know me very well. Don't laugh. You want to laugh, laugh inside. All right? So I'm just going to read through. To go back to this is a bit painful, all right? Because I have to think about all the hurtful things I went through in my life and I have to write it down. But for your sake, that's how much I love you guys. First thing first, I'm just going to read through it. You know, when I was in my high school, I didn't get into the class that I wanted to. I was quite a bright student, but apparently not bright enough. My sister, 3 years older than me, she was the top student in the entire school. We shared the same last name. I remember going to class. It was a history teacher, I remember. And he found out my last name. He only said two words to me. What happened? I mean, what happened? Anyway, number two, so I had, number two, so don't laugh, all right? When I was young, I had very serious acne problem. No one is laughing, only inside. Pimple problems, very serious, like all over my face. It is painful. I was 14. I mean, during those times, right, as you are growing up, I mean, you want to impress others. There was this particular girl I wanted to impress, but I think the acne problem was... Anyway, I had pimple... Number three, I had puppy love problem. I mean, a lot of... I liked someone, but it was very much one-sided. And I must say, I have been misled at times as well. Stop laughing, Joe. I said, no laughing, man. So at times, I mean, I can joke about it, but when I was 14 and 15, when I was going through that, it was difficult, you know? So I was thinking to myself, was I stupid? Was I clueless? Or was I being played? Or maybe all of the above. Anyway, in my university years, I've made some really unwise decisions. My studies suffered. My relationship, my parents suffered. I failed all my subjects in my first semester of university. All. I know, right, Moy? That is so painful. I failed everything. Dad and Mom, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. But all is good. All is good. In my working years, I mean, during my working years, I started a business. The first 3 years of my life in business, it was very challenging. It was so difficult, In fact, at one stage, we only had enough money to pay the staff and not ourselves. Imagine going without salary for the first couple of months. I mean, it was really difficult. Made some difficult business decisions. Served the Lord for 15 years. At the age of 30, I started serving the Lord. I'm 45 now. I've served the Lord for 15 years. Won't go into detail, but all I can say is I had my fair share of battle scars. Now, for those of you that want to enter into full-time ministry, praise God, but do not romanticize the whole idea of full-time ministry. Yeah, it is a tough gig. Unless the Lord calls you, don't do it. But if the Lord calls you, go for it. His grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for you. And of course, many of you know that I'm also a father. My youngest child was born with cerebral palsy. As a family, as a father, it was difficult. And it's a daily grinding thing. Now, why do I share all this to you? Why do I share all the low points of my life to you? It's because when I look back to each of the low points, I know that God is there. And I stand here to testify the goodness of God. But how about you? I know I've shared a couple of low points in my life. I'm sure for you in your journey, perhaps you've also gone through some challenges. In fact, in Beyond Blue, a reputable website, it talks about 1 in 3 women are likely to experience anxiety in their lifetime. Less in men. I'm not sure why. I don't know. Let's not speculate, yeah? The rate of depression in Australia from 2000 to 2023. In year 2000, it was around 10. By 2010, it's around 12%. And since COVID hit, it just spiked up to around 15%. In 2018 to 2019, over 2 million Australians aged 16 to 85 experienced depression. Now, younger adults aged 16 to 24 experience depression at the highest rate. If today you are a youth and young adult, you are at the higher rate. You are more susceptible, more at risk of having depression. Now, what are some of the common symptoms of depression, you may ask? Perhaps you're feeling sad. Look, there's nothing wrong about feeling sad or down. But if you feel that in a consistent and a persistent level, consistently you feel there's hopelessness, there's sadness, there's a loss of interest in the things that you used to enjoy, there's a change of appetite, you're either eating too much or start eating too little, your sleep pattern has been disturbed. These are some of the common symptoms of depression. The question that we ask today is then, what should I do when I feel anxious or depressed? What should I do when I'm in the low point of my life? I was just wondering whether some of us here in our life today are going through that low point of life. Now, truth be told, a lot of times in our life is what I call you have both the mountaintops and the valley lows at the same time. Sometimes life is not as simple. Life is complex. Human beings are complex. Sometimes there are good things happening. At the same time, there are bad things happening. Sometimes you are confused. Sometimes you feel guilty. Should I be celebrating the goodness? But I'm suffering here. So in those times, what should we do when we are walking through the low points of life? Are you ready? Would you like to know? Let us turn to the Word of God. The first thing for us is to believe that God is with you, even when you fill in the blank. Even when you're going through a low point in your life, believe that God is with you even when you don't feel it. Even when in your heart you thought that it is impossible that God is with me. You see, your spiritual enemy, the devil, wants you to believe that you're all alone. Nobody cares about you. You can't do it. You can't change your life, and that you're not worthy. There is nothing you could do, the devil wants you to think. That there is nothing you could do that could change your life. You can never take yourself out from this low point. But my brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to read to you in Psalm 23. It says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, not just a dark valley, but the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You see, David understands that even though he was going through difficult times, we need to understand the life of King David. Last week, I talked about King David as a shepherd boy, alone, tending to the flock. But do you know, at times, King David, he was also persecuted by King Saul. He was running for his life. David went through very difficult times. He was mourning, he was grieving over the loss of his son. And not only that, you know, David had a huge family problem. Huge family problem. During those times, what did he do? You see, it's very easy at the low point of our life, in the difficult times of our life, we walk away from God. Because that is what the enemy wants you to do. The enemy wants you to think that you're all alone, that nobody cares about you. But that is the very time whereby we have to draw near to God. We have to draw near to God. It is in that darkest moment, in that lowest point, King David started to pen down some of the most beautiful psalms. In Psalm 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It is in during this time, he said, God, I know I'm going to the darkest valley, but I know that you are with me. Turn to the one next to you and say, God with us. God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 9, it says, fear not, for I am with you. You see, when you are alone, or when you feel that you're alone, fear will start to creep into your heart. But the Bible says, fear not, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you. And not only that, God says that I will strengthen you, I will give you strength. I will give you courage. I will uphold you. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In Psalm 34, it says the righteous cry out. You know, sometimes in our lives, when we go through difficult times, it is even more difficult when it is not your fault. You have done everything you could. You've done the right thing. Went to the right church, you even tithe, you did all the right thing. But somehow, things just seem out of control. Chaos starts coming to your life. You didn't imagine marriage to be children. But here, what I love about this psalm, it says the righteous cry. It means to say bad things do happen to good people. And when the righteous cry out, the word of God says, the Lord hears them. Every time you cry out to the Lord hears you. And He delivers them from all their troubles. Not only God is with us, the Bible says that God is close to the brokenhearted. That God is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The God is a deliverer. He has the power to rescue His people from their troubles. While this may not always mean immediate relief, it signifies that God is with His people throughout their struggles, and God has a plan to bring you through the difficult times. That the God is close to the brokenhearted. That God is close to the brokenhearted. And I love this verse. It says that God is our refuge and strength, at ever-present help. Ever-present help. Always, He He's always there, ready to help when we are in trouble. The God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And that is the God that we serve. That we know that God is with us. He's with us every single step of the way. You know, King David, while he's penning his psalms, in his desperation, you know what he will cry out? One of the things that he will cry out is in Psalm 13. He says, "How long, O Lord?" How many of you, when you go through troubled times or you go through difficulties, that is the question you ask, how long? How long, O Lord? David says, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? These thoughts that captivate my mind. When, O Lord God, are you going to provide me the relief? Hear my voice, O God, when I cry. Be merciful to me and answer me. Have mercy on me, O God. I cry to you, O Lord. Why, O Lord? Why me, O Lord? Why not the other person? One of the ways the Lord asks us to do is to draw near to Him, to open our hearts to Him, and be real to Him. Even as King David starts crying out, during his most difficult times, he started spending time with the Lord. Now, do you know Psalms, during the ancient time, they are actually all songs. These are songs. In our early prayer meeting today, around 9:15, my dear brother Brad, today he was leading the prayer, he released a word. Was it in Isaiah 42? It's Isaiah 42, right? It talks, it's Isaiah 42, do I remember correctly? It says that we will sing a new song unto the Lord. It was during those difficult times in David's life that he started releasing a new song to the Lord. I wonder whether someone in this house, when you're going through difficult times, there's going to be a new song arise in you. There's going to be a new song arise in you. I wonder if there's anyone in this house. Not only we believe that God is with us, we also trust that God is for us. One more time. We trust that God is for us. That God is for us. That God is for us. Even when we feel helpless, even when we feel hopeless, even when we think that it is end of the road, that we have tried everything, then nothing works. I've seen the doctors. I've gotten medical professional help, but nothing seemed to work. Know this, that God is for you. God is for you. God is not against you. The enemy will want you to think that God is against you, but God is not against you. You know, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it says that for the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuse them before our God day and night has been hurled down. The enemy, his job description is to accuse you. He's called the father of lies. Many times when you're going through difficult times, the voice of condemnation will come to you. Say, you are not good enough. You deserve this. Or sometimes, you don't deserve this. The enemy will start saying hurtful things to you. But praise be to our God. The Bible says he has been hurled down. He's been defeated. You know, in Romans chapter 8, this is what I love. 8:31, Apostle Paul then says, what then shall we say to these things? Do you know what are these things? What are these things? In Romans 8, let's look at the context. These are the things that Paul has been talking about in chapter 8. First thing, Paul said that there is no more condemnation in Christ. No more. The old has gone, the new has come. Apostle Paul then said that it's life in the Spirit. Yeah, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a life for Him. They were able to set our minds on godly things. What are the things? It talks about the future glory and hope. All of us who are believers of Christ, we have a future glory, we have a future hope in the Lord. And then in verse 28 to 30, it says that God will work for all things together for the good of those who love Him. And the summary of that, Paul then says, because of all these things, know this, that God is for us. That God is for you. God is for you. And who can be against you? Who can be against you? I want to share with you a story. Of each of the low points in my life, I'll pick one. But I can stand before you and testify that every single time when I go through the low point of my life, I know that God is with me, that God is for me. It doesn't mean that the circumstance has changed or has changed immediately, but I know that even as a young boy, even as a young man, even as a grown-up, as I come before the Lord, being filled by Him, being encouraged by Him, I know that God is with me. You know, I was talking about the fact that I've been serving God for 15 years now, yeah, full time. One of the most difficult transitions of my life is that from business to pastoring. I was running a business for 7-8 years, relatively good business. We sold the business. I had a call to serve the Lord as a pastor since I was 16. I often tell people the business was a detour for me. It was a time the Lord wanted to teach me a lot of things about life. If you want to love, if you want to learn about life, you should go into business. You will learn a lot about life. Of course, that's not to say other profession you don't learn about life. You know, that's not what I meant, all right? Because in business, especially as a startup business, you got to do everything yourself. Absolutely everything. You know, think about products, think about hiring people, payroll, you know, prepare taxes. I mean, there's a lot of things. And by the grace of God, for 7-8 years, we did well. We sold the business. And then when I entered into a full-time ministry, I remember I was given a room. Yeah, I called it a Siberia room. Yeah, I'm not sure whether you remember Daniel. Daniel, I think maybe you might have remembered that room. You see, when I was a business owner, we had a nice room. Yeah? Fairly nice, all right? Fairly nice room. So when I serve as a pastor, the first thing the Lord wants to teach me is humility. Very important, humility. So I was sent into this room. There's no heater in that room. It was cold. It was right at the corner. And it was depressing. I remember every day when I come home, almost every day, I would tell my wife, I'm going to quit, man. I'm not called for this. But the thing is, when I first stepped into ministry, I told the pastor what the Lord has put in my heart. I told the pastor, I'm going to serve here 7 years. At least 7 years. This is what the Lord told me. After my first day at work, I'm thinking, I shouldn't have said that, man. Kenny, you and your big mouth. I shouldn't have said that. But that was actually the least of my issue. I went through so many difficult times, so many adjustments, so many humble pies. But again and again, the Lord shows up. If there's one thing I learned when it comes to pastoring, is that there is nothing I can offer the Lord. I actually have zero thing to offer the Lord. Everything is the grace of God. If there's one thing I learned about pastoring, is that God is not so much looking at my competency. It's not what I can do for Him. It's what God is doing in me. And through that, out of the overflow of the love and the grace and the mercy of God, is in that place. And from that place, I can start serving the Lord. You know, during my business years, I was thinking, oh, yay, you know, we can conquer the world. But when I entered the ministry, I realized that the Lord is not interested in me conquering the world. The Lord is interested in me surrendering myself unto Him. And it's in that place I became like a little David. There are times where I feel so lonely. There are times where I feel so misunderstood. You know what I will do? I'll start reading Psalms. I'll start crying out. I'll say, how long, O Lord? I'll start saying, I cry out to you, O God, my tower of refuge and strength. I remember there was one of my darkest moments of my life. I was serving the Lord. Didn't do anything wrong. I was just serving Him faithfully. I was preparing for a marathon. I was running. I was training in my marathon. At that time, the Lord spoke to me. He said, my son, you keep running this race. I got you. And this is the verse that my dear sister shared, Exodus 14. We didn't plan this, did we? We didn't plan this, yeah? This is why this is a Spirit-filled service. God has planned for this. And in Exodus 14, verse 14, this is what God says. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I do not know what you're going through in your life today. But I'm here to tell you this. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. To be still and know that the Lord is your God. Now, the very context of this verse, you need to understand, Moses just took the people of God out. And there was this army, Egyptian army, the finest trained army, the most mean, most competent, most deadly army, the chariots, they were chasing the people of God. And in front of them was a Red Sea. They had no place to go. And this is what the people of God said to Moses during the time. I turn to Exodus chapter 14. And verse 10, it says, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. They feared greatly. Sometimes when you're faced with issues and troubles and challenges, you fear. You're trembling in fear. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us? Bring us out of Egypt? Is not this what we say to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. After all Moses has done for them, Moses did nothing wrong. Moses merely obeyed God, yet the people of God still complain. Do you know that you can serve God faithfully? Do you know that you can obey God, yet you can still get complained? Any parents here? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You can love your children wholeheartedly, you still get complained. Any parents? All our children here are so good. Our parents here never get complained. Amen. But here the context is that they were fearful, absolutely terrified. Then Moses said, "Fear not. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." If I ask the worship team to come, you need only to be still. As I was preparing this message, I sensed the Lord wants to do something in this house. You see, every time when we gather in His name, the Lord wants to do something in our midst. Whenever the presence of God is, you will never leave here empty. Never. Never. Just like when you're invited to someone's house for a banquet, they will have plenty of food. Yes? Once a year, our house, we have a Christmas celebration. We invite people. People will never leave empty. Ham, prawns, and barbecues. But do you know that when we come into the presence of God, in the house of God, there is this humongous feast, spiritual feast, that you will never leave empty. Spiritually speaking, what does it mean? It means that if today you came here, you are spiritually, you are hunger. That you have something in your heart, you say, "God, would you feel me? God, I'm going through difficult times. Would you help me to rise above?" Today, the Lord your God is saying to you, you will rise. The Lord your God is saying to you, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. He will lift you up, and by His righteous right hand, He will uphold you. And the Bible says that He heals the brokenhearted and that He binds up their wounds. This image of God is a beautiful image. That God is a carer. That He will come and that He will bind up your wound. A couple of years ago, I was playing with the young adults. I was mucking around with them. We were playing captain ball. Yeah? A bit like basketball. Not exactly. Anyway, it was sport. I fell. I hit my head. I think Nigel took me to hospital. I was in the hospital. The doctor was stitching me up. Very gentle doctor. So I think the doctor was trying to keep me awake. I was trying to talk to her. So as she was tendering my care, we started talking. So I started asking her, so what do you do for a living? Obviously, my brain had an issue at the time. I was stitching you up, Mike. What do you think? So I asked her, do you go to church? My brain was still working, all right? At all times, you have to preach the gospel. So she was teaching me. She has no choice. She has to answer my question, right? I was at, is it St. John of God or Monash Barry? She was teaching my head. So I said, do you go to church? She said, yeah, I go to Crossway. I said, that's good. Do you still go there? No, I don't go to church anymore. I said, why not? I think you should come to church. You should go to church. Just as the doctor carefully, sensitively tend to my care, you know, God is that good God, that He will come and He will bind up your wound. Come, let's close your eyes and bow your head. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you.